Last week, the Kansas City Chiefs became the first team since the 2009 Colts to clinch a playoff spot with 5 weeks to go. They also won another one-possession game, 14 straight. That's an NFL record. But now it is time to capture a ninth straight AFC West title, and they can do it this week against the Chargers.
Mahomes has a pass for the left side. It is caught! Touchdown! Floating it up to Justin Watson! A 6-yard touchdown!
Hi, everyone. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter and now Hallmark movie star Matt McMullen. You were, by the way, you were awesome in that. You crushed your line.
You know, right after we did it. So first of all, I didn't even know I was going to have a line when I showed up for the shoot. This was in like July, and they said that I had a non-speaking role as myself. And I was like, okay, I wonder like what that means. Like, what am I going to do? I had no idea.
Every role you're in, though, you're speaking, like regular role.
Yeah, I was confused. So I showed up.
I can see that.
And it turned out I did have a line. It was the, hey, Trey, come sign the Christmas card. But the best part of the day is that I got to hang out with Trey for like 3 hours before we actually did it. And Trey also didn't know what his lines were before he showed up. And he actually had like some dialogue.
Yeah.
Like that was actually difficult what Trey had to do.
He was
amazing.
Very good.
He was so good. But I got to practice with Trey for a couple hours beforehand, just in one of the suites at the stadium. And I would just do my little, you know, rinky-dink line, and then he would have to do all of his dialogue. But he was amazing. I think Trey actually has a future in it. But, yeah, I can always say now I was in a Hallmark movie. How about that?
So there's so many great movie lines. You quote it like, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Just give it to us again because it's become one of the great movie lines of the kingdom.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Hey, Trey, come sign the Christmas card.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Listen, you know, yeah. Now we'll turn on Hallmark, and my in-laws, my parents, all just had the time of their life. So, yeah, we did it.
It'll get better every time you watch it now.
I was so paranoid after the fact, like driving home. I was like, was I looking directly into the camera? Like, was that weird? Like, I don't know. But, yeah, I've now checked off that box.
Well, that's awesome. What's also awesome is the Chiefs are 11-1. Yes, they're racing to try to get the bye in the 2024 schedule. But there's always a checklist of things to do. And one, we've said it, we'll say it in May, is you must win the division. Win the division first. That's the first check mark. Actually making the postseason, which the Chiefs already have done that. But now this week, with 4 weeks to go, the Chiefs can win the AFC West by beating the Chargers. And this Charger team now, we'll get into them a little bit more, but defensively, this right now is the valedictorian of all NFL defenses. If you look at them, number one in scoring defense, again in the red zone defense, and third down, those are the base subjects. They are on the honor roll. This is a nasty Charger defense the Chiefs will play this week.
And overall, this is a great example of how the head coach really matters because people were wondering, you bring Jim Harbaugh into the Chargers, how much can it really change in 1 year? Well, the answer is it can change a lot. And that team emulates their head coach, just tough, gritty football guy. This will be a tough game for the Chiefs, as divisional matchups normally are. But I'm glad it's at home. It's going to be in prime time, and I know our guys will be hungry.
Sunday Night Football, what does this remind you of? Because when you look at the numbers and the transformation, it reminds me of the 2013 Chiefs.
Yeah, it does.
And we're going to get into that a little bit more because Andy Reid started his impact right away as head coach. By the way, the Chiefs, 10 straight years in postseason play. That's second in NFL history, only to the 11 straight by the Patriots. So it all started much the way that what Jim Harbaugh has done with the Chargers. Let's give him credit. But let's also give credit to our actor now on here who's got the space machine or the time machine wound up, our space station. Let's go around the earth and check in with the Chiefs Kingdom.
You want to guess how many I have for you today?
84 for Justin Watson, who we'll have on the show later. Don't want to miss it. Justin Watson's coming up very soon here on Defending the Kingdom. So 84?
Not 84. That would have been great. I have nine. That's intentional.
For nine straight AFC West titles.
Hopefully that's what we're talking about on Sunday night.
For Juju Smith-Schuster.
And Juju Smith-Schuster, who will catch the game-winning touchdown on Sunday. We heard from Red in Waco, Texas. Red grew up in Kansas City with his family, and they had season tickets from 1964 to 1992. He wrote in with a great story about how one game in 1972, he was just 13 years old, and a Raider fan, as you would expect, was being obnoxious and loud and had an air horn It was blowing the air horn, and Red, at 13 years old, turned around and yanked the air horn away. And the Raider fam was like, all right, I respect that. Yeah, and there's a lot more to the story I won't get into. But anyway, I respect that, Red.
And it's Red, right? Not Ed, because the story could be Ed Begley Jr.'s story.
I'm pretty sure
if
it's
he's
Red.
Got a stocking hat, then it's a real deal in Waco, Texas.
So shout out to Red. Shout out to Mason Cole. He's 10 years old and a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. So am I, Mason. Mason lives in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And he has his grandpa, Daryl, to thank for writing in his name. Shout out to you, Mason Cole.
Have we got every Canadian province?
I think so. Have we gotten...
I don't know if we've had Nova Scotia yet.
The Yukon territory, maybe? I don't know.
If you're in the Yukon territory, we need to hear from you.
I want to hear from you. Yeah. We have a listener in Oswego, New York. Bills territory up there. He said that Bills fans do not appreciate the Chiefs jacket that he wears around, but he likes the looks that he gets. And I kind of understand it. Like, you and I, when we go to some of these hostile environments and we are decked out in Chiefs stuff and we're getting it from everybody, you and I just kind of smile and nod, like, kind of like it. I understand what you're saying, so keep wearing that Chiefs jacket up there in Bills country. Richard is in Southwest Texas. We have a listener in Stuttgart, Germany. Stuttgart Surge.
Surge.
Yep.
Go Surge.
They said over there it's not Black Friday, it's Black Week. So there we go.
Okay.
I have more on that later, by the way.
The Black Week?
We have like 45 people let us know what Black Friday means. So I'll get to
that. I know. It's the whole profit thing, and you're in profit that day.
People found you and let you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I'll just skip to it quickly. Yeah. We learned that Black Friday is called Black Friday, for those of you that do not know. Most retailers operate in the red for most of the year, and then this time of year, with the holidays coming up, Black Friday is when they start to operate maybe in the black, which is in the profit. So now we know. If you listened to last week's episode, Mitch and I were confused why Black Friday was called Black Friday, because we associate it with like Black Monday and Black Tuesday. But Black Friday is a good thing for retailers. So anyway, thank you to everyone that let us know.
And what you buy on Black Friday, which is Keystone, which is double the normal cost, you can get at a clearance the first week of January for maybe 40% less. But go ahead and get it on Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Because there's, yeah.
It's an event. And the Chiefs won on Black Friday, otherwise known as Red Friday. We have a listener in St. Louis. Steve is in Parson, Kansas. Been a fan since Super Bowl IV. Go Vikings.
Home of the Vikes.
And this is a good one. Ty is in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Mountain Home. So, yeah. So we got today. Some good ones.
Sean Hills from Parsons, Kansas, remember, longtime quarterback?
Yeah, sure, with the Niners. Yeah,
so, and Terry Beeson, I think, played at KU, and then I think he played for the Bengals, maybe.
Okay.
Parsons, Kansas. So they've had some dudes in Parsons.
Impressive. So, I'm not surprised that you know that.
Go Vikes. Anyway, Southeast Kansas. All right, this is a big week because did you ever play Capture the Flag as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did, too. A lot of it. With the cousins, right? When the cousins get together, it'd be on.
Probably a lot of fun in Smith Center, too. A lot of room and space.
Lots of room and space. Yeah, yeah. So speed was was an asset. But don't play Capture the Flag with my wife.
Okay.
Because she was a state champion sprinter. Anyway, it was a mismatch. So this week, though, against the Chargers, the Chiefs can wrap up the AFC West. Around here, that's called a hat and T-shirt day because you've got all of them. We've seen them before. Your collection of championship hats,
and you'll see them next week if we win this one.
Okay,
trust me.
Bust them back out. Mm-hmm. You're waiting there. But it's also, you know, capture the flag. Take it. Take the hat. Take the T-shirt. Again, we're going to hear from Justin Watson in a second. But here we are in December and a chance to win the division. And the division this year has changed now because we have seen the Broncos on a surge. These Chargers are on a surge. We've already said it'll be a difficult game, but you got the chance to capture the flag, capture it.
We're going to have three playoff teams out of the AFC West. That's something. And I think if we're being totally objective, it's probably the second best division in football this year. I'll give it to the NFC North, the records. I mean, they've been really good with the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers. But the AFC West is right there, in my opinion. The Chargers are playing really good football this year, and so are the Broncos. We saw the Broncos on Monday Night Football win a crazy game against the Browns. So for the Chiefs to win this division, hopefully, for a ninth consecutive year, is really impressive for a multitude of reasons. But you mentioned the 2013 Chiefs. Let's rewind all the way back to that time. If I told you what was ahead of the Coach Reid-led Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not sure any of us would believe it because that's just not realistic. For the Chiefs to make the playoffs in 10 consecutive years is just silly. Like Mitch said, second longest streak in NFL history for any team. The only team that has done something like this is the Patriots, who we all know what the Patriots accomplished, one of the greatest teams of all time. Well, the Chiefs are right there. To make the playoffs in 10 straight years is remarkable, and now an opportunity to win 9 straight division titles. I remember talking with you about how fired up we were. We won consecutive division titles. That was the first time in franchise history back in 2016 and 17. Like, wow, we did it back to back. Well, now we have the opportunity for 9 in a row. Pretty cool.
I'll always admire the 17 team throw. And because why that was such a big deal, we lost 6 of 7 games at one spot.
Yeah.
And we were listing at 30 degrees port. We were ready to sink. And then Andy Reid finished with 4 straight wins. And beating Miami about Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I remember winning that game. Alex Smith leading the way. A apprenticing quarterback named Patrick Mahomes was in the on-deck circle. But I just remember what that meant, not only to win back-to-back first time ever, but then to do it under such difficult circumstances. And the fact that when you look at the history of this division, we've said it before, 15, 15, 15. Chargers have 15 titles. The Raiders have 15 titles. The Broncos have 15 titles. If the Chiefs win this week, they will have 17 titles, which they were at 8 when Andy Reid got here. We were at 8 when Andy Reid got here. And so it's just phenomenal. But it's going to be difficult to do it because this Charger team, let's dive into these guys a little bit. Because the one thing to me, the influence of Jim Harbaugh, is the fact that when you look at the giveaway-takeaway ratio, if you go back to 13, 14, 15, the early years of Andy Reid being head coach of the Chiefs, they were either at the top or near the top of the giveaway-takeaway ratio. I remember being on a show in New York City, and they said, man, the Chiefs are so lucky. I go, well, maybe not. If you look at it, it's by design here, and look what it's been done over a long period of time. The Chargers are not giving the ball away. They are number one in the NFL with just 6 giveaways, 6. One interception thrown by Justin Herbert in 12 weeks is stupid good. That's really good. And yet they take it away. They're sitting here looking at 14 takeaways, or they're at plus 11. So they're 17 takeaways with only 14 giveaway points. So Buffalo's plus 17, Pittsburgh's plus 15, Chargers are plus 11. That is the biggest thing that has changed in the Chargers.
Yeah, that's the key, because if you're looking at their offense, it's not always smooth sailing. They have the second highest 3-and-out percentage in the NFL. They have the highest drop rate in the league at 9.1%, but they protect the football. Like you said, they don't turn it over. Just 6 giveaways all year long, and 14 giveaway points are the second fewest of any team in the league, behind only Pittsburgh. So if you're not turning the football over, you have a much better chance of winning the football game. And look at last week against the Falcons for the Chargers. They didn't score a touchdown in that game, at least offensively, but they took the ball away 4 times. So it didn't matter that they just had a whole bunch of field goals and you take the ball away 4 times. So when you have a defense that can do that, that can suffocate the opponent, can take the football away, and you're shortening the game in that way as well, it makes it difficult for the opposing offense. So it's paramount in this game for the Chiefs. It always is. But don't turn the football over against these guys, because they thrive off of it. And it's kind of a similar conversation that we had going into the Buffalo game. We're like, don't turn the football over against these guys, and we're going to beat them. Well, unfortunately, we turned it over on the very first possession. We protected the football the rest of the way for the most part, until the very, very end. But it came down to one possession. So in a game against the Chargers that has the division on the line, or at least a chance right now to win it, don't turn the football over. That's the key.
And my favorite stat of last week's Charger win over Atlanta was the fact that only 187 total offensive yards for the Chargers. On the road, it was their fewest in a win since the 1960 Chargers, week 4.
Wow.
That was the first year of the American Football League. They were playing at Balboa State. No, they were in L.A. then. They started in L.A. and they moved to San Diego. But the point is, you've got to go all the way back to 1960 since the Chargers won a game with that few of yards. Now, we're going to jump into this Charger defense, because you're going, wait a minute, how good are these guys? They're very good. But one real weapon going into this Charger game is a guy who has turned it. I'm going to get your reaction before we go to it. But Justin Watson is the guy that will show up to make the big catch, the big play. Oh, he got a 25-plus play. But he'll do everything. He's just won over the Chiefs' kingdom, but for sure won over the wide receiver room and for sure the quarterback room with Patrick Mahomes, because Justin Watson does so many things to help this team.
He's a great football player. He'll make a big catch. He'll lay a big block. He'll do whatever it takes to win games. I remember, was it last year, he was fielding punts for us because we were decimated in that area, maybe a couple years ago. Regardless, he will do whatever it takes to help this team win. He is a great example, and he epitomizes the mentality and what makes this team and this run by the Chiefs so special. It includes a bunch of guys like Justin Watson who don't care about the stats and the numbers. They do not care about accolades or awards. All they want to do is be a part of this and to win. And Justin Watson, since he got here a couple years ago, all he's done is win.
He is the epitome of what you just described and why he is so valuable to this team. So to win a division may be a big play from Justin Watson. And a chance to talk now with Justin Watson, number 84, number one in your heart. Okay. This team has been so incredible, unusual. What about this team that makes it the team that wins in such crazy ways?
Yeah, I think more than anything is just the belief. You know, I've been on teams that haven't won a lot of games and teams that have won a lot, and there's something to be said about a team that just always says, we're going to find a way, something's going to break, and we're going to be ready when that chance happens. So, I mean, even this week with the fumble, you know, a lot of teams would have already packed it in, would have been saying, hey, let's just – see what happens with the kick. We're ready for anything. So, you know, to see guys be ready to knock that ball away, bolt to jump on it, it just doesn't surprise me because we just always feel like somehow, some way, we're going to get a chance to win.
Justin, I want to ask about your journey because when you signed here a couple of years ago, nothing was guaranteed, but you earned yourself a spot on the team. And then that last couple of years, you're a two-time Super Bowl champion now with Kansas City and three-time if you include the one in Tampa Bay. Just what your journey, how you got here into this moment. Do you ever reflect and think, it's pretty cool I've accomplished all this?
Yeah, you know, my first year here is probably one of the years I'm most proud of in my whole playing career. I was coming off a year where I was in a contract year, then I tore my knee and I missed almost the entire season. And after the year, Kansas City was really the only team that was even going to give me a chance. And so when I had that knee injury, I thought, man, if I get one more chance to play football, I'm giving it everything I got. And so when I came here, that was it. You know, there was no worry. There was no doubt. I feel like I was playing on borrowed time and I was just going to give it everything I possibly could. And to come in here with Coach Reed and Pat and Trav and everybody just making you feel like they want you to be a guy that they believe in. Man, I'm just so thankful that to give that second chance in my career and then be able to win a couple Super Bowls and share that with so many family members. Man, I'm just so thankful for my time here in Kansas City.
I remember Patrick talking about him after the Camp Pat stuff in Texas, and he's like, "Who's this Justin Watson guy? This guy's
fast. Is this guy? How fast is he?" So, were you trying to impress him?
Oh yeah, you know, I definitely could have just coasted under a ball, made it a nice clean catch. But man, I was every route I was running as hard as I possibly could. And you know, that was kind of how I run every route, you know, but especially down there, knew it was an awesome chance to make, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And yeah, so that was my chance and try to take advantage of it.
You're asked to do so much. Every wide receiver is in this system. Like, you're not an X, Y, Z slot, you're everything. What about that challenge? And then your blocks to free up Pat for that run against Carolina and then to follow it up with a touchdown and a record breaker from Pat.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the challenges of playing receiver here in Kansas City is you got to be a smart guy. You got to know every position. You got to know every defense and what Pat's seeing, what Coach Reed wants you to see. And it's an awesome challenge because, you know, for me, that's something I love to do. It reminds me of being in college, studying the playbook, getting in extra reps, asking questions. And, you know, talking about the block against Carolina, that's just something that I think is ingrained in us is just the finish, you know, is every play. If I don't catch it, I'm turning and I'm finding somebody to block. And so as soon as I saw Pat get out of the pocket and I knew, man, he was tucking this thing to run, that was my only mission was, hey, man, who am I going to find to block? And I think that's just a credit to the coaching staff is all of our guys. We're one step quicker because we're not reacting and seeing what happens on the play. We're just going until we hear that whistle.
He had two blocks on that play. If you go back and watch it, you had the early block and then you finished it off. Just the mentality being out there as a wide receiver, you're not getting the ball on that play, but you know I can find a way to help Pat break free. It's not like that everywhere. Not every receiver is that way. When did you become that kind of player where it's like, no matter what, I'm going to find a way to help my team win?
Yeah, you know, there's a story I always tell. You know, my oldest brother, Tommy, was born with cerebral palsy, and his whole life he's been in a wheelchair. And there was a time in high school, we still had 3 days. It was the last year of 3 days. And I came in, and man, I'm sore, I'm tired, my feet are bleeding, you know, new cleats, the whole deal. And I'm walking, and I'm complaining to my dad the whole way. I'm complaining. And then we get into the room where my brother's sitting, and he's smiling ear to ear in a wheelchair. And his smile just said to me, Justin, if I had one day in your shoes, man. I would run until I was sick, until my feet were bleeding. And as soon as I could get up, I'd do it again. Mm-hmm. And so from then on, I said, you know what, man, if my brother Tommy can find a way to smile every day, no more bad days for me. You know, every play I get, every chance I get, I'm going to play it like it's my absolute last.
That's super cool.
Well, you've smiled a lot being a multi-Super Bowl champion, but now this week a chance to wrap up the division with 4 weeks to go. What does that mean and to try to get it done this week against the Chargers?
Yeah, you know, it's a big goal for us. You know, every year we say, hey, we want to make the playoffs, we want to win a division, then you got to, you know, go into the playoffs and win some games there. So for us, it's a huge goal to hang another banner. You know, we call it a shirt and hat week, you know, just finish the division, win a division, and we know we got a great test ahead of us. These guys played us hard the first time, and they're playing their best football right now. So I like that we get to play them here at Arrowhead on Sunday night. I think we got a big advantage in front of our home crowd.
Now, Mitch, we have a new segment this week. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, shout out Steve Sanders, our director of photography. He got this awesome photo of you catching this touchdown. Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah, really cool.
So for those just listening, it's a photo of Justin making his incredible catch against the Raiders last week. Mitch kind of mentioned this earlier, but walk us through the play a little bit. Just an incredible throw by Pat and great catch by you as well. Walk us through this play.
So, man, I got to really take it back to the play before this. We line up third down, getting our, you know, our best third down play, and I knew this was the play all week that was going to come to me. And the Raiders call a timeout, and I think, oh, shoot, man, they saw something. You know, we're going to scrap the play. We're going to call something different. And on we were walking to the sideline, Pat says, hey, if we call the same play, if they line up in the same defense, I'm throwing it to you, so get open. I said, I got you, man. And so sure enough, we call the same play. They line up, same defense. I knew I was going to have man-to-man with no safety help. And so I just thought, hey, if I can just get my right shoulder past his, I know Pat's going to put a ball that I can catch. And so just was cool to get on the other side of the field and see that ball in the air. And I didn't know quite where the DB was, but I knew he was going to try to, you know, make a play on the ball. So I just went up to attack it. And once it touched my hands, I was squeezing it for dear life. So, man, it was just an awesome play. And then to look back and see the throw that Pat made under pressure, getting hit, you know, he amazes me every week. And that was certainly one that did.
Did you have to lobby to Nags, Coach, and Pat to go run the same play, run the same play? Why did they stay with the same play? Because most of the time we're going to change it.
Right? Normally I would, but it was only a 30-second timeout, so I didn't really have time to lobby.
And then, too, when you hear the play call, oh, we're still going to run this, was your body, like, flowing with electricity?
Oh, yeah. You know, normally in football you don't have that much time to think about a play, but when you line up, they call a timeout, you line up back again. I was just hoping, please play the same defense. Please play man. And so, you know, as soon as they lined up, you know, it's just an awesome feeling. It's one of the coolest things I think about playing football is, you know, it's either a catch or it's not. It's either a make or a miss. And so to line up and know that, hey, you know, it's a yes or no game. Did you make the play or did you not? And to be able to rise to the challenge in that moment on third down is just always one of my favorite things about football.
And I think your last three touchdowns, at least in the regular season, are all against the Raiders. You know
how about that? How about that?
What is it against the Raiders that you're like, I have to find the end zone?
Well, it's funny. So when we played them at their place last year, we had a similar play called. I had the same route, and that's the one where I got blown up going across the middle.
Yeah.
And I thought, shoot, here's my one play, and it's over. And then I pop up, and I ended up being wide open. So I laughed this week when we put it in. I'm like, hey, do you want me to run the route, or do you want me to get knocked down again and then catch it like I did last time?
Well, it worked out okay this time, that's for sure.
We'll close with this one, though. We can talk about the Raiders, but I remember a 67-yard reception against the Chargers. I can still see it as plain as day and calling that play. Sometimes a play can help a player completely think differently about themselves. What did that play against the Chargers mean to you?
Yeah, you know, like I said, it was my first catch as a Chief, and I remember, man, can't wait to hear your call of it too. You know, that was one of the things after the game. But you know, it was just it was our second week of the season, and like you said, it was going against J.C. Jackson. He had just become the highest paid corner in the NFL. And so, you know, if there was a time to do it, it was then. So I just, like I said, for me, it was just so cool for first catch as a Chief to be a touchdown to get us back in the game. You know, I said it had been 999 days since my last touchdown because I got hurt. It was mostly playing special teams. The last year I was playing in Tampa. So, I mean, it was just amazing to see how much work I knew I put in over those many days, just finally get rewarded, and then for it to just be the tip of the iceberg and just the start of a, you know, an awesome career here in Kansas City was just so cool.
Well, before you go, I'm going to have you sign this. We're going to give this away on Chiefs Social.
Absolutely.
You're the first ever person to do this with us, to do a DTK sweepstakes. So this is exciting.
How about his week, though? He's going to catch Patrick Mahomes' record-setting pass.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the first to do the in-the-sandbox
on defending
photo.
The kingdom. We're not going to ask him which one's more important to him. We know what it is.
I believe
it. But Justin, you're the best, man.
Now, did you ever play Capture the Flag as a kid?
Oh, man, all the time.
So, this week, Capture the Flag, or the hat and the T-shirt.
Hey, man, that's right. That's the slogan.
Jay Watt, again, incredible person, really good player for this team. The 67-yard play, I think people have forgotten, because Justin Watson's capable of making a big splash play.
Yeah, he is. We've seen that a couple times now. Had that one against the Raiders deep down the sideline in 2022. The one against J.C. Jackson, though, is kind of just imprinted in my mind because we knew we had a pretty good player in Justin, but like he said, J.C. Jackson at the moment was considered one of the very best corners in the NFL, just got a bunch of money, and Justin Watson just put him on skates. I mean, it was incredible. And then how about the touchdown against the Raiders? Here it is again. Pretty cool, this new segment we have going. Steve flagged me down in the hallway last week and asked if we'd be wanting to do this. I think the guys like it, you know, seeing these photos of them making these plays. I'm going to put this out on my Twitter account this week. Keep an eye out. I'm not sure how I'll do it yet. Maybe if you retweet it or something. I'll say in the post what to do. But somebody, if you interact with the post, will be getting this autographed Justin Watson photo. Pretty cool.
And it could go to you fans in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
It could. It could go to anybody. Just interact with it. We'll do like a random generator or something. But
Nova Scotia.
But yeah, we're all about new segments here on DTK. How about it?
Well, how about this Charger defense? Because they're doing it at all three levels. We mentioned their takeaways, the fact that they've been very aggressive. Derwin James did not play against us the first time. He was on NFL suspension. He's back. Jefferson's been a nice little addition for them. He was going to work for the NFL in the front office, and they pulled him out of the scrap heap, and now he's been a really good player for them. Their pass rush, we know the guys, and familiar names when you talk about Khalil Mack or Bosa, but Tui Peloto comes to mind now. Tuli Tui Peloto, whose brother is on our team, okay? His brother's on our team, but 7 sacks. We knew when he came out that he would be a really good player. But there's no weakness on this defense that I can see.
Yeah, they got 36 sacks as a team. That's 6th best in the NFL. Comes from everywhere. Comes from Bosa, Mack, Bud Dupree's on this team. But then Tuli Tulopu is a really good player. You know, it's interesting. It's the top scoring defense in the NFL at 15.7 points allowed per game. And they're middle of the pack in a lot of categories, like big plays allowed, rushing yards per game. But they're really good in two critical areas. They are the 2nd best third down defense in the NFL, and they're the number 3 red zone defense in the NFL. And if we're thinking about the Chiefs' struggles on offense the last couple weeks, it's red zone. So the last 4 weeks, here are the Chiefs' red zone efficiency numbers. They were 1-for-4 against Denver, 3-for-3 against Buffalo, very good, but then 2-for-5 against the Panthers, and 1-for-5 on Friday against the Raiders. So the last 4 weeks in the red zone, they're 7-for-17 in terms of red zone touchdown efficiency. That is a difference of 40 points, or 10 points per game, and it's really more like 13 points per game because throughout the Buffalo game, we were perfect in the red zone. So if you add 13 points per game, or I don't know, even like 6 points per game, and these crazy close finishes, you don't have to have a block off or the fumbled snap or the walk-off field goal against Carolina because those games are in hand. So for the Chiefs, you just got to finish in the red zone, and it's much easier said than done, and it will be difficult against a very good red zone defense here in this one. But to me, I really think the Chiefs are this close to clicking offensively because they're moving the football. I mean, you don't have all these red zone drives if you're not moving the football. You just got to finish once you get there.
It has been up and down like your investment portfolio because the Chiefs started off poorly in the red zone, tied for 28th. Remember, winning games, but the same discussion. Then they soar. Then they got all the way up to tied for 11th in the league. Wow. But now it's back to 24th.
Yeah.
And you're playing a team that, again, it's the way I started, and you backed it up. When the base subject of defense right now, the valedictorian defense, the Chargers, the Bolts, they've got it, and they've got it at all three levels. So this is going to be a scrappy bunch to play. Before we close it out, we need to mention the Georgia Bulldogs are having an impact on the AFC West.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers, many think, is the new Travis Kelce or the Kelce at his beginning of his career. Hard not to argue against it when you look at what he's done. He's going to shatter the rookie record he has. And then you look at Ladd McConkey and what he is. And you and I both liked him coming out of the draft. We're like, where's he going to fit in? He's going to go too high for us, but he'd be great in our offense. But he's been great for them. When you look at what he's done, three straight 100-plus yard receiving games. Last week, 9 catches, 117 yards. The rest of the team had 7 catches. So much like Bowers, he's just like always going to be the main target of whoever's quarterbacking for the Raiders. The same thing for Justin Herbert. He's looking at Ladd McConkey first, second, and third.
Really productive player. And full disclosure, we're shooting this on Tuesday. I know he's dealing with some injuries. We don't know if he's going to play. But if he does play, can he play through those injuries? We'll see. How effective can he be? This guy's tough. Like, he's a really tough player, and he's the focal point of their offense in the passing game, at least, and really proven to be a thorn already in the side of whoever he's playing. So, Ladd McConkey, if you're the Chiefs defense, you got to find a way to slow him down. Because the reason, besides the red zone issues for the Chiefs, that the Raiders were in that game against us on Friday was Brock Bowers, because he is a monster. And I'm glad we don't have to see him again this year. But Ladd McConkey, even though different physical profile, is in that category of the kind of player who is going to catch 8 passes a game for the next 10 years. You just kind of have that feeling with a player like him. So whether he plays or not, we got to make sure we're thinking about Ladd McConkey. Also, J.K. Dobbins is not going to play in this game, which I think is a big deal. This is a Greg Roman-led Chargers offense. They love to run the football. They run the ball 47% of the time. That's the 9th highest rate in the NFL. But they're not going to have Dobbins. And, I mean, really good player, averaging 4.85 yards per carry this year. Offense goes through him. They ran the ball a season low 17 times last week, the first game without Dobbins, and the result was 187 yards of offense. So curious if we're going to see Herbert throwing the ball more in this game than maybe they would have liked if they had Dobbins in the fold.
Still have Gus Edwards. These are the pseudo Ravens. You mentioned Greg Roman. You go look at all the Raven alumni on this team.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's very much and when you look at on first down, they're 5th in the NFL. They run it 61% of the time on first down. We're going to close it out, but before we do, a reminder about Pro Bowl voting. And all of you that are with us on Defending the Kingdom throughout the world, this is your chance to, you can be in Cambodia and you can vote for our Chiefs during the Pro Bowl voting.
Yeah, so we are planning on not being at the Pro Bowl. We're hoping that our guys are in the Super Bowl, and we kind of say this every year, but the Pro Bowl does mean a lot to the players. And I know as fans, we're like, does the Pro Bowl matter? Well, to them it does, because when they hang it up how many years from now, they can look back and say, I was a Pro Bowler. It does mean a lot to our guys. So they give us so much. Let's show our support for them. Vote Chiefs in the Pro Bowl.
We'll close here with some breaking news because, again, we talked about Pro Bowl voting, but you can also do something else here because Travis Kelce has been announced as the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Kansas City Chiefs. The fans can vote for him online. This is on X. This is going to be done on X with the hashtag WPMOY Challenge. Plus at T Kelce, which is his X handle. So at chiefs.com/WPMOY. I know we got a lot going on there, but a chance. And the Walter Payton Man of the Year, the Chiefs have won it, I think, more than anybody else.
5 times, right?
And you look at the you talk about the Pro Bowl, you just mentioned the Pro Bowl means so much to the Chiefs. When you talk to the past Walter Payton Man of the Year winners, whether it's Brian Waters, I remember when Lenny was still around, Lenny would talk about it. Willie Lanier, it's one of the greatest moments of their lives to be announced as the Walter Payton Man of the Year. And now Kelce, he gets a chance.
And very deserving. I mean, all the stuff that Trav has done with Operation Breakthrough.
87 and running.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to give kids in underserved and less fortunate communities an opportunity to show what they can do and to make something of their life. A lot of them are achieving great things now, and maybe they wouldn't have had that chance if it wasn't for Travis Kelce. It's really, really cool, all the stuff that he's done over the course of his career, and he cares so much about other people. So he's so deserving of this, and I'll be voting early and often. I'm pretty sure every retweet counts as a vote, so I'll be posting this often.
So again, your chance to – it's on X – and you can participate here. So to vote for Travis Kelce for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. And what he's doing with Operation Breaks, their STEM labs and what they've done, with their vehicle restoration. I mean, he is changing kids' lives who need it the most. Well, the Chiefs can make another, they could change lives as well.
Change our lives some more.
Change our lives some more by getting a ninth straight AFC West title. It will not be easy. Maybe playing the NFL's best defense this week in the Chargers. So why not capture the flag, the hat, and the t-shirt.